And the page number is 673. In the blue hymn book, 673. Let's all stand together as we sing 673. 673. If you're physically able to,
sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare us a place.
673. Yes, make sure you shout when we get to the shout at the end there. Second verse, 673.
While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky.
God sent His only begotten Son to save us from our sins. So that's the good news. The good news is tonight you can leave here on your way to heaven, not on your way to hell, through the blood of Jesus shed for you on the Calvary, the cross of Calvary. So ask your teacher about that. I know Brother Daniel, missionary, you call him Missionary Daniel, he will be, a little change of plans, like Ms. Gibson, he'll be doing the gospel presentation in there. For Miss Pat, is that we have a more than usual, okay? So we're a little slight switch there. And so you can ask him about it, and he'll, as he gives the gospel presentation, that'll be great. All right, let us bow together in prayer as we begin tonight. And Brother Hodge, Deacon Hodge, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, we thank You for this time that we can get together and have a blessings and fellowship. We ask you, Lord, to bless your word tonight as we study it. Help us to hide your word in our hearts.
Amen.
Lord, God, we thank you for each one who has come. We pray for those who might yet be on their way coming to bring them safely. And Lord, we pray tonight to be a light of rich blessings. And anyone with us, Lord, who has not yet been saved, that tonight will be tonight when they will accept Jesus as their Savior.
Amen.
And come to the joy of salvation. Father, we thank you. We give you the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. Good to have some visitors with us tonight. We're glad that you're here. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. Some of our ushers and junior ushers will be happy to get a bulletin to you, especially for our first-time visitors. If you're a first-time visitor, it's good to have you. Let's start over here. Dom, you brought a friend with you. What's your friend's name?
Ryan.
Ryan, welcome, Ryan. Good to have you with us tonight. You're from Heathercroft, right? All right. Good to have Ryan here with us tonight. And then we have Aaliyah. She got saved back at Easter, and she brought her brother and stepbrother. Brother's friend. Okay. And their names are Josh and Julian, right? Good to have you with us. How old are you, Josh? 12?
Yeah.
Okay. How old are you, Julian? 19. 13, that was good, okay. All right, so you guys are about the same age. Okay, great. And it's good to have you with us tonight. Then on this side, do we have any first-time visitors? Don't believe so. It's good to have Aaliyah back with us. And it's good to have return guests from last year's VBT. It's good to have Raya with us. Welcome, Raya. Glad that you are back with us. And what grade are you now going into, Raya? 7th grade, okay. How many are going into 7th grade this year? Raise your hand if you're going into 7th. We have a ton going into 7th grade this year, so that's good. Teen VBT is going to be well populated, okay, so we're glad for you. All right, just by way of announcements, as you noticed, our answers to prayer are here. Missionary Daniel and his wife Hannah are here. We're so glad that they are answers to our prayer. And they've been so wonderful. Glad to have them this summer for 6 or so weeks. And we are so blessed to have them. You can call them Missionary Daniel, Missionary Hannah, whatever you want to call them. But they are helping us out this summer. So we're so thankful for them. All right. Just by way of other announcements, tomorrow morning is what? Who can tell us what tomorrow morning is? Lydia? VBT fair set up. Right outside, we're setting up all the fair booths. Okay, no running in the church, guys. We're setting up all the fair booths. Who's coming to help us tomorrow with the VBT fair set up? Okay, I can pick you guys up. Okay, so who else? Darnell?
I can come in the morning, but I have to go to the meeting.
Sure, okay. And that was in the afternoon? Okay, yeah, absolutely. All right, so I'll be picking up around 9:15 with Darnell, and then the others. So be ready at 9:30, Zion and Zamora. Anyone else need a ride? Anyone else need a ride for tomorrow morning? Savon, should I pick you up at 9:15 tomorrow? Okay, sounds good. Armani, you need a ride? I'll be at your house. You have to work, okay. But we'll pick up your younger brother, sisters. Good. All right. Okay, then. So come on out next Monday, something special. This Sunday, come to church at 9:30 and 10:45. And then what's going on Monday? Who can tell us what Monday is? VBT. Paul Rice, can you put in the video or the video that's on the desktop for VBT? We're going to show just a brief minute clip of that. I think that would be good to get everyone in the mood of VBT for next week. Starting on Monday morning, 9 a.m., come on out. Bring your friends. We have games, we have food challenges. How many have ever had to do a soda chug before? You have to drink a whole can of soda, okay? All right, how many have ever eaten a whole jar of baby food real quick? All right, how many have ever eaten sardines? Okay, how about applesauce with a piece of bazooka bubble gum in the bottom and then blowing a bubble, okay? So these are the food challenges next week. So come on out, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. We play games outside. We learn about God. And so we have a good time. Even Faith is getting in on it. She's excited about it next week. All right. So, William, you excited about it next week?
Yes.
going to be fun, isn't it? Yes. All right, so we're going to show just a brief clip. Started at minute 250, Paul. That way we can see it. Keep going, a little more, keep going. Good, keep going. All right, that's fine. Start right there.
He lived a perfect life, and gave his life a sacrifice. A
pure
beast who took that cross
with
me. He humbly took his cross, and righteous people lost their sins forgiven.
Inside your heart you'll find that
every day we start out with skin.
Who always feels important and looks down on other men.
We didn't
but
understand.
Do not let your flesh prevail, or always at the end he'll trip you up and knock you down and drop you into sin. Oh, pride goes before all, so he does warning all. Respect both big and small, and humble yourself before the Lord.
And you each are on a team, so we gotta pick the team. The team is Time Lab, discovering Jesus.
When you feel like puffing up and turning up your nose, remember this is pride inside that very quickly grows. And when you think you're better or deserve
the very
best,
watch
out because you've stumbled into pride and selfishness. Oh, pride goes before all, so he does warning. Time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. So that starts Monday morning, 9 a.m. So come on out. If you need a ride, let me know tonight. Okay, come on up, ushers. Shh, no more talking. Let us bow together in prayer as we give to the Lord. Amen. now we are going to take prayer requests before we dismiss prayer requests. Adults. And we're going to find out how everything's going. Pray for those who need prayer. Shh, no more talking. If you're talking, that means you're interrupting God's time, okay? Don't interrupt God's time. God doesn't like that, and he takes this very time very seriously, his house. Who will be first with answer to prayer, a blessing to share? How did the ministries go today? We'll find out from Sister Hannah and Sister Carol. How did the MetaView, or I'm sorry, how did Atlantic and Karen go today? Carol? Okay, how did caring go, the second one? Good, that's wonderful. Usually they break in on our time about halfway through. We've led about 8 or 9 to the Lord over the last 4 weeks or so at Caring. So we've been trying to build a church, and then a lot of them have already been saved too, so it's a blessing. We just started that ministry. All right, anyone else? Blessing to share. How's the Moms in Need ministry going, Mrs. Wright? Okay. Pray for the parsonage. We had a leaky water pipe in the second floor bathroom going all the way down to the basement. Brother Daniel's also a helpful plumber. So we're so thankful. A man of many talents. The Lord just is using him in a great way. So pray for us as we wrap it up, hopefully, this week. So, all right. Anyone else? Any other blessings to share or prayer requests? We'll take prayer requests now. Pray for the Hodges as they leave tomorrow. What time is your flight? 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They're going away for 2 weeks, so pray for them on their flight. Anyone else? Yes, Pat. Unspoken? Okay, let's pray for Patty. Anyone else? Yes, Carrie.
You said blessings too. I just want to just also share too. It is actually a special blessing that Danny is here at the time. God's time is everything. He's always on time. He's never early, never late. And I'm thankful that he's on time. You know, the plumbing thing is just more serious than the leak. They used the wrong plumbing years ago. So the upstairs bathroom has been actually toxic. The pipes have been full of
it's they use galvanized piping, which is only good for gas, not for water.
So the Lord has put the timing to have us done, and father thinks different plumbing. That one in particular, we think a lot of the pipes are original to the 100-year-old house. And they found some surprises in the wall. Like the old insulation is newspaper from 1933. So they're reading old newspaper, which is how our house is insulated in certain areas. So it's been quite the learning. So we have a, well, the floor is missing right now, too. So, I mean, timing. He just looked at it, and he got the idea, and he's looking at the material, and I had ordered this before, but it just clicked, and it's put it together. I praise with his expertise. He's not afraid to try new things, and it's coming together. So I praise with
that. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Blessing or prayer request? How's little baby Grayson doing? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. His kidneys are good. Just a little bit of wheezing in his lungs. When's the lung doctor appointment?
September.
Okay. So he just is he on a nebulizer? Okay. How many times a day? Every 4 hours, okay. So let's pray for Grayson with his wheezing. Anyone else? Yes, Layla? Okay, all right. So, was that Nadia? Nadia, okay. Yes, pray for Nadia. Rededication to the Lord. Yes, Serenity?
Pray for Nadia so she doesn't have kidney stones.
Okay. What's her name?
No
Davies. How do you spell it? No Davies. How do you spell it? No Davies. Okay. Kidney stone. Pray that she does not have a kidney stone. Anyone else? All right. This time we'll just break up. Yes, do you have a prayer request?
Mike.
Julian? Who is it? Mike?
Mike. Yeah.
Mike? Mike Snuffin.
Yeah, he was one of the and...
Yes, he fell down the steps, right?
Yeah, and he also got a concussion. And he also has something in his brain.
Yeah, he's got a cyst on his brain. They think might be from repeated concussions. Pray for Mike Snuffin. He's got a really bad headache from falling down the steps, and then they don't know what this cyst is. So let's pray. He's going to the neurologist soon. So let's pray for Mike Snuffin. All right. Anyone else? All right. At this time, we'll dismiss. The sixth grade and younger go with Miss Carol and missionary Danny and missionary Hannah over in the next classroom there. And the seventh grade and up stay in here. All right, and prayer time at the end. I guess you could do prayer time at the beginning, probably. That'd be good. Okay. Okay.
And
pray for Roy too. He's not doing so well right now.
Dominic is gonna go in.
Okay.
And
there. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So if you're in sixth grade now, you're in there. All right, let's break up into our prayer groups to start out. So let's have the teens go with Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, as we look into the Word of God tonight. We're going to, I don't have my board, but we'll have to do it without a board tonight. Daniel chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there should be red Bibles in the pews there, or in the seats, in the racks right in front of you there. There's red Bibles or black Bibles. Daniel chapter 2, where we are. I apologize, we turned on the air conditioning late tonight, so that's why the building is not cool, and it was a very hot day. So those two combination factors, so we apologize. Daniel chapter 2, and verse 1, as we look into the Word of God tonight, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 1. I believe there's a lot that we can learn from the book of Daniel. We did chapter 1 a couple weeks ago. Now we're in Daniel chapter 2. It says in verse 1, "In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream, verse 6, we're in Daniel 2 and verse 6, and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Okay, so here we see the ultimatum by King Nebuchadnezzar. How many would want to be in their shoes? Okay. And you see the reward. You also see the curse. Okay. What do they get if they get the dream right and the interpretation right? What do they get? Great gifts, rewards, you know, promotions. You would get your raise, you know, whatever else you wanted, pretty much. But if you couldn't tell King Nebuchadnezzar the dream or the interpretation of the dream, what happens to you? Okay, does that sound very exciting? Very fun? No. They were very, what do you think they were fearing at this point? Their lives. They saw their lives flashing before their eyes, and they said, Who can do this? They all were very scared, except for, let's keep reading, verse 7, they said, wait, king, this is unreasonable. We can't tell you the dream and the interpretation. You tell us the dream, and then we'll tell you the interpretation. And the king answered verse 8 and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. Okay, so here, now picture yourself back in this time period. This is Babylon. Babylon was the world power at this time. It was this was about 586 B.C., and Babylon was the world ruling power. Okay, I think there's some posters somewhere around here of Babylon, somewhere around the church, because it has a bunch of different, it has Egypt and other posters. But anyway, Babylon, there's some of the ancient wonders of the world were in Babylon. Does anybody know what two of the ancient wonders of the world that were there in Babylon? Okay, guess where the Tower of Babel was built? Babylon. Okay, so archaeologists tell us there was, sure enough, there's a huge, massive ziggurat right on in Babylon. The city of Babylon is a big, huge city, miles and miles and miles. But there's a big wall around the city, and right through the city is the Tigris or Euphrates River, one of those two big rivers, and it's going right through the city. But on one side of the city, there's this huge tower circling toward the ruins of it were very large. The base, the foundation was very big, and that's very possibly where the Tower of Babel was. And they remember, they didn't destroy it. What'd they do? After their languages were confused there in Genesis chapter 11, did they tear it down? No, they just stopped building it. Okay? So, according to archaeology and according to the writings, the historical accounts of Babylon itself, they probably still had the remnants of the Tower of Babel right inside their city. That's pretty interesting. Okay, but at any rate, then that was one of the things they had in the city. Then on the other side was King Nebuchadnezzar's palace, very large, and the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, right, that he built for one of his, for his wife, that she missed her homeland. She lived in the Far East. She missed the Far Eastern plants and everything. So Nebuchadnezzar built huge hanging gardens that were that had irrigation systems. They sure enough, they excavated the irrigation system. Huge pipes, massive pipes, and a pump. They're very large irrigation pumps underneath those that hanging gardens. You say, well, wait, they couldn't do that back then. No, they did do it back then. Huge irrigation pipes and pumps. They had pumps, not necessarily electrical pumps, but pumps nonetheless, that would pump water way up that hanging garden palace, way up 4, 5, 6 stories high. They'd be able to pump water up to those different flowers. So that's why it was one of the 7 wonders of the world, because you had tremendous, beautiful gardens, but you also had these irrigation pumps that you know, like these engineers built way back then in 586 BC. Okay, so, and then one of the other ancient wonders of the world was one of the gates there in Babylon, beautiful, huge gate called the Ishtar Gate. It was made with blue mosaic tiles, all beautiful, all over the outside and inside of that gate, very beautiful. Of course, it was made to an idol called Ishtar. Okay, so that they were the world empire at this time. So they took all the Israelite, those teenagers that were about 17 years old, those that were knowledgeable, that were smart, that had cunning. They took them captive over to Babylon. They said, "Hey, we're going to put you in our best school, and you are going to be a wise man to the king. You're going to be an advisor, you're going to be a ruler, you're going to be a president, you're going to be help us run Babylon. How would you like that job?" Okay, you get taken captive by a foreign nation and they tell you what you are going to be. Okay, so some of these guys were very scared. Okay, but here we see, he says, "I know what you're going to do. You're going to talk amongst yourselves and you're going to say, okay, I know the dream, King Nebuchadnezzar, here it is." And you come up with just a story dream. He says, "No, I know you astrologers and soothsayers." He said, "No, you're going to give it to me now. You're going to give it to me soon." Verse 10, "The Chaldeans answered the king and said, 'There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things that any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh.'" They said, "We can't, king, there's no way we can tell this except the gods who have power." You know, here they are, they, in, you know, put a person in the corner, right? You know, as they say in battle, there is no atheist in the foxhole. You know, you get a bunch of guys together in foxhole, you know, trying to shield themselves from bombs and grenades and gunfire coming in, and guess what? All of them are crying out to God. There are no atheists in a foxhole. They're saying, "God, help me! Save my life, God! Help, help!" Well, that's how it is here. There's no atheists in the foxhole here with King Nebuchadnezzar. They all saw their lives flashing before their eyes, and they said, "We're going to die. Help." And verse 12, "For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon." Remember in chapter 1, Arioch was the one who talked to Daniel and his three friends, and he said, "All right, Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar has told me to give you the king's meat and the king's wine, so they should eat this meat and drink and get drunk and et cetera, or at least have the possibility to get drunk." And Daniel said, no, "That's okay, Arioch. We're not going to eat the king's meat. We're not going to drink the king's wine. We're going to just give us vegetables and fruits and you know, just give us foods that are more natural." And that's what they asked for. And Arioch said, "Well, wait, if you get leaner, then the king's going to come after me for not feeding you well." Daniel said, "Wait, just give us 10 days eating the pulse, the vegetables and the fruits and the healthier foods. And if we're not better in 10 days, then you can give us that stuff." And so sure enough, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile his body with what? With worldly things. Not to defile his body with getting drunk and losing control of his faculties. And Daniel purposed in his heart not to go into worldly things. He said, my heart is with God. I'm not going to give in to anyone less than God. And so sure enough, what happened? At the end of 10 days, Arioch came back and, wow, Daniel, oh, you look like you put on some weight. You look like you're a little more muscular. Oh, wow. Look at you. And they were fairer and fatter in flesh than those that were eating the king's meat and drinking the king's wine. And so Arioch said, okay, fine. So for the next year, they were able to, they ate that for the rest of their time. They didn't have to eat what the king commanded them. Okay, so here that same fellow, Arioch, is now having to carry out the death sentence. He's gone forth to slay all Daniel, his three friends, and all the rest of the wise men. Verse 15, Daniel answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king that Arioch made the thing known to Daniel? Then Daniel went in and desired of the king. So Daniel and his three friends weren't even there when Nebuchadnezzar called them in. And desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. What did they mean again? Do you remember from 2 weeks ago? Daniel meant what? Servant of the Most High God. Okay, Hananiah meant follower of God. They changed his name to Azariah, which meant follower of Acho. Who's Acho? Some false Babylonian god. Then Mishael got changed to Meshach. Mishael was a lover of God. Well, they changed it to Mishael, which means lover of Misa, which is another Babylonian god. Misha. And then the third one, Abednego. That's a strange name. To bed we go, right? Abednego, he was Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, and Azariah. Azariah was his name, and he meant, once again, devoted to the Most High God, and they changed to Abednego, devoted to Nego, the god Nego, which, of course, another idol. And so you can see how the push was on to make Daniel and his three friends feel what? Removed from Jehovah God, removed from the Bible. Well, now you're in our land, and so you follow our God. You could just see the push of the world on Daniel and his three friends. Isn't that what we Christians face so much of the time? In the world today, we face the push of the world. We face people who say, oh, you must come with me after work. We're going to go drink at the bar. Oh, I can't come with you. Oh, you must come with me to do this, and we're going to have a fun time. And they do worldly things and get involved in sinful things, and it messes up their life and ruins their marriage, and they get divorced, and then other things happen. And that's how the devil tempts us to go the wrong way, by just worldly pressure. And so here, Daniel and his three friends, they said, no, we're not going to change our names. Notice what their names are still. As Daniel's writing this book, he didn't say Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No, he calls them by their Hebrew names, the names of the one true God. And so they refuse the push. They refuse the push of the world. And that's what we need to do. We need to refuse the push of the world. Don't let the world tell us how to live as Christians. We need to do the right thing because our eternity is at stake. Not that we're going to lose our salvation and go to hell, but if you're not saved tonight, if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you are going to die in your sins and go to hell because you need to place your faith in Jesus Christ. But we as Christians, you say, I've already done that, Pastor Rice. I've already repented of my sins and believed on Jesus as my Savior. Well, our future is at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to either gain rewards by having Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or we'll lose rewards by having him say, my child, I gave you my word, I gave you the Holy Spirit, I gave you a church. I gave you Christian friends. I gave you everything you needed to live the successful Christian life, but you still chose to follow the world. My child, you have lost rewards. You don't have a crown to earn. You have not earned a crown. You know, we don't want to hear that said at the judgment seat of Christ, so we've got to be faithful like Daniel and his three friends and say, no, we're not going to go the world's way. We're not going to follow idols. We're not going to live for ourselves. What are the biggest idols? If we had our board, we'd write all this stuff up, but we can't right now. What are some of the biggest idols in the world today that people live for and follow? Money. Okay, people live for and follow money. Oh, I have to have the best this, the best that, all the money. Okay, what else do people live for? Yes. What's that? Musicians. Okay, they live for their music. Everything's about their music. And, oh, I've got to get in the moment. We're for my music. And everything's about their music and how it makes them feel. But if you think of the words of the songs, of the popular songs today, what do they actually say? They say things that are going to, you know, set us straight and help us live right and do great things for God and have a eternal purpose. Or do they say, just do what feels good today? Oh, if you make a stupid decision, so what? You know, just eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow you die. That's what the songs today sound like, right? Love, it's all about how you feel. And it's all about what you want and all about, you know, the person that makes you feel good. And well, guess what? That's sad. Sad. Very bad advice to follow. But that's what the world's music sounds like. Okay? Or cursing and bitterness and anger and wrath and all those things. Okay? So what are the other idols of the world that people are following here in the United States? You all know American Idol, right? You say, we don't have idols in America. Think about it. American Idol, what is that all about? To become what? To become the next idol. So even America acknowledges that it has idols. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? America acknowledges, yes, we have our idols. And they are people. They are musicians. They are singers. They are magicians. They are talented people who do this or that or the other. So the world is now in our face saying, yes, we do have idols. Yeah, we're not ashamed of it. So we need to be wise as Christians and say, wait a second. Okay, we should not follow the idols that the world has. What are some other idols besides music stars and movie stars? Ambition, okay? You know, it wouldn't make sense to be a pastor if it was all about the here and now, right? Wouldn't make sense to be a missionary and come up from Argentina and work for the Lord for the next 7 weeks this summer here at the church. We should tell Daniel and his wife Hannah, hey, you're doing the wrong thing. Don't you know, just live for yourself. Don't go out of your comfort zone where, you know, they can't give you what you're worth and all this. And so you just need to stop living for God and go down and live for yourself, right? We should tell them that. Well, that's what the world is saying. Don't live for God because it doesn't pay. Well, guess what? The opposite is true. Living for God pays the most. See, I'm not a pastor because I want to make a lot of money. You know, if I wanted a Rolls Royce or a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, you know, I'd go into business and I'd go and I'd make a lot of money in a tower somewhere in New York City or in Philadelphia, and I'd make a lot of wise investments and I would do all those things and I would make as much money as I can, and I would probably lose my family in the process because I wouldn't have enough time for my wife, wouldn't have enough time for my kids if I had any, because I'd be so selfish on myself, you know. And then at the end of it all, even if I had the Ferrari, as I drive my Ferrari around, and if I have my boat on the weekend to go fishing, would that really satisfy my deepest urges? No, it wouldn't. At the end of Sunday, instead of being in church, going out and doing all that, guess how I'd feel? How would I feel? Another week lost. Yeah, I caught a fish, so what? I'd feel inside, I would feel empty. So the world tries to tell us, oh, just live for yourself and worldly things and you'll be happy. But you know, the opposite is true. If we live for God, if we help others, if we tell others about Jesus, if we help other Christians to live right, that's where it really is fun and exciting and makes the most sense, right? That's when we feel good. We have the joy of the Lord inside our hearts. Even if we're working, we have the joy of the Lord. Even if we have a bad day, we still have the joy of the Lord. Even if something else happens, we have the joy of the Lord. Why? Because we're doing things for God. And that's what is most important. Well, Daniel and his three friends knew that, and they said, that's right. And verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. They prayed to God. They laid it all out before God. And they said, Lord, You're the only one who can tell us what the dream is. We have no clue what this dream is. And You're the only one who can tell us the interpretation of this dream. You're the only one who can even possibly tell this. Even the unsaved wise men and astrologers have said this. So Lord, we are at Your mercy now. Our lives are in Your hands. And that is where the true wisdom is. You know, the devil is behind all the agenda of this world. He's behind all the music. He's behind all the making money to be selfish. He's behind all the worldly idols and sports stars and things that are just in it for themselves. And so he is the one who's trying to get us sidetracked. But God is the one with all the wisdom. And He's the one who made this world. See, Christians are the ones who truly know how to live life happily and joyfully. Why? Because we get everything we can out of this world. We live our lives for God, and guess what? As a return to us, as a reward, He helps us get all we can out of this life in joy and in abundance. We're the ones who can truly enjoy things because they're tools to us. Our heart's not in them. Our heart is in God. And we can enjoy vacation, you know, where we help other people come to Jesus. We can, such as Sister Danielle, bringing her family down for a good time, but also to learn about God. That's where it's blessed, you know. The people who are just coming down to the shore to have a good time without putting God in it, guess what? Their vacation is like, it wasn't that great. But the vacation we put God in, that's a fun vacation. You know, and so don't leave God out of any plans that you have, because that's what makes life exciting. Our brother Daniel, he's working on the pipes in the house, you know. Oh, what a sad job. He's got to fix pipes, you know. He's the happiest guy in the world. How can he be happy working on pipes, you know? How can he be happy doing manual labor with me, you know? Why? Because he's doing it for the Lord. And he's doing it to serve God. He's laying up treasure up in heaven every day, and you know he's the happiest guy, and so that's what makes it worth it all. And so then in verse 20, God answered their prayer, and He said, "I will give you the answer." And Daniel praised God. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. If we worship God for who He is, if we live for Him, He is going to give us the most blessed life possible. Those that live for themselves, what Jesus say? If a man gain the whole world, he sure enough he works real hard. He buys everything he can, all the cars. You know, you think of some of the famous people. You know, such as Jay Leno. He's got like a whole garage full of cars. You know, 20, 30, 40 cars. How many cars can somebody drive at a time? Just one. You know, you could have a lot of cars. But is it going to really satisfy your deepest longings? No. You know, he's still looking, you know, looking for meaning to live. And, you know, some of the comedians, you know, they're supposedly happy all the time, and they're some of those miserable people you ever met. Why? Because they don't have joy inside. They like to make people laugh, and they live for that, but that's still meaningless without God. And just ask some of them. It's sad, the stories that they have, and some who've already passed away by suicide, who are comedians. You say, why? Why did they do it? Well, because they were looking for the wrong thing. They did not see God. God is the one who gives us joy in life. Verse 21, and He changeth the times and the seasons. God removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. So Daniel is peeling back the curtain of life for us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, hey, if you live for yourself, if you live for all that you can get out of life, you're gonna come up empty and dry and unhappy. But if you live for God over and say, Lord, I am yours. You made everything there is. I'm going to serve you. That's when you come happy. Daniel served God his whole life, and Daniel, he lived through king after king after king after king. There were so many regime changes all through Daniel's life. You know, he started out at age 17 with Nebuchadnezzar. Then he went through Medo-Persia after Babylon, and Babylon he was with three generations, and Medo-Persia with another couple generations, then all the way down to King Cyrus. You know, this guy lived through so much. Why? Because he was with God, not with any one person here on earth. He lived for God. Verse 22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth that it is in the darkness. The light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given thee wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste. Nebuchadnezzar is getting real upset by this point. He's just about to say, okay, Arioch, go kill them all. But Daniel quickly comes in, says, show me to the king. I will tell him. And so Arioch brought him in. I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. Verse 26, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? You realize that who were all those men? They were living for themselves, living for pleasure, living for getting drunk, living for getting high, living for getting all the females they could ever want, and living for all this and that food and gluttony and other pleasures of life. Who were they serving? All the unsaved people who didn't want God in their life. Who were they serving? Who was behind all those things? The devil. Is that what you're going to say, Ryan? Okay, the devil. The devil was behind all those magicians and astrologers and soothsayers. Was he able to get the answer to the dream? Did the devil know what it was? Nope. The devil is clueless when it comes to the future. The devil doesn't know the future. The devil has only limited power. The devil is the prince and power of the air that's around this world system. This is his domain. He runs to and fro on the earth seeking about whom he may devour, and all his demons with him. But guess what? Satan has limited power. It may seem like he's winning right now. Oh, look at all the people doing such bad things and following the devil. Well, it may seem like he's winning right now, but he's not. The devil's a loser. He's going to be cast one day in the lake of fire. Whenever you read about the devil in the Bible, Jesus always mentions, along with who he is, that who's going to burn forever in the lake of fire. He always mentions that the devil is a defeated foe. We don't have to fear the devil. We have to fear God. He is the one we need to fear. We need to have a healthy fear of God. Oh God, I need to obey you. Oh God, I love you. Oh God, help me to do what's right. We need to love and obey God. Here the devil had no answer for any of this stuff. Verse 28, Daniel said, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed what shall come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets, God, maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and become like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Here we see Daniel told the king the dream. He said, this is what you dreamed about. You dreamed about this big statue, big image. The head was gold. The arms and the chest were silver. The legs, the thighs and waist were of bronze. And then from the legs down were brass and iron mixed. Bronze and iron mixed. And this represents, and then the stone was cut out without hands. A stone just all of a sudden appeared out of a mountain, cut out without hands, and came and crashed the whole image, destroyed it, every piece of it. And then that stone became a great mountain. And it's just a beautiful picture of God. And His God is the eternal God. We're going to learn about Him next week at Bible time. You're going to learn about the different lessons about Jesus, who is God from eternity past to eternity present to eternity future. He's always the same. And He loves us with an everlasting love, and He's got a great plan for our life if we will just follow Him. And guess what? He's the most powerful king. The stone that Jesus made, that's His millennial kingdom. And He's going to destroy all the kingdoms of this earth, and He's going to set up a great thousand-year reign. You know, Babylon only had a brief, about 50-year reign. And then Medo-Persia had about a 300-year reign. And then Greece came behind that. They had about another 300-year reign. Then the Roman Empire had another 300-year reign. And then they fell apart through corruption. But guess what? Jesus, when He comes to earth, He's going to have a perfect 1,000-year reign that will not have any corruption. It will not have any decay from within, decay from without, no enemy that will be able to defeat Him. Jesus will show what a true kingdom looks like. And so that's what Daniel says, O king, this is the dream. And now I'll tell you the interpretation thereof. And he goes into the interpretation. And how does the king respond to all of this in verse 46? Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel. This is the first time he had ever come across a person who had faith in a God that has power. All the gods that Nebuchadnezzar has ever known were all weak and nothing. Just idols made of stone and wood and that people made with their own. He never had come across a God who actually gave wisdom to men. And he said he worshipped Daniel and commanded they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Here we see King Nebuchadnezzar came face to face for the first time with Jehovah God, who had all power. He never had come across this before. And you know, you and I are perhaps the first time that anyone is going to come across Jesus through you and I. How are we reflecting Jesus? What a great privilege it is to be the ambassador of Jesus Christ. That for the first time in someone's life, they'll say, wow, that person has self-control. They have discipline. They have love for God. They have character. They have love for people. They like to serve others. Wow, I've never seen someone like you. I'm going to watch you. And they're going to watch us, and they're going to see how we go to church, and they're going to see how what we do, and we're, what happens to us when bad things come, and when good things come, and they're going to be watching us. Why? Because people need to see someone who has God in their life. And Nebuchadnezzar, this was the first time he ever saw that. And then he kept watching Daniel. He made Daniel president over the affairs of the province of Babylon. And so Daniel set Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah over the affairs. So Daniel used his influence and got his three friends in charge too, setting them up for the next trial that they would have. But here we see, later on in chapter 6, Daniel, chapter 5, Daniel was able to lead. He was able to lead King Nebuchadnezzar to the Lord. After many, many things that Nebuchadnezzar went through, he was able to lead him to the Lord. All because Daniel was faithful to God. See, you and I should aim high. We should aim to win, try to win every person we can to Jesus Christ. We should not say, oh, you know, he's the king. I'll just be afraid of the king and I'll try to witness to the underlings, you know. No, we should need to aim for the king to witness to him. We need to aim for the important people. We need to aim for anyone. Anyone we come across. Why? Because Jesus wants to save them too. We need to aim for everyone to win them to Christ, just like Daniel did. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this service tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps you're here tonight, you say, Pastor Rice, you know I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned against God. I've lied, I've cheated, I've stolen perhaps, I've done other things. But I don't want to die, go to hell for my sins. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. He lived a perfect life. And then he died and rose again for me. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. That you, just slip up your hand. Quickly, quiet, right there. I want to be saved. I want to know the Lord as my Savior. That you, just slip up your hand. Just put it up, put it right back down. If you want to trust Christ, amen. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? You say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be saved. If you want to get saved tonight, I want you to go to the back of the room and we can have one of our adults with their Bible show you how to be saved in a matter of minutes. If you just slip right out of your seat and go to the back, we can have one of our adults show you from the Bible how you can be saved tonight, how you can know you're on your way to heaven. If that's you, just slip right out of your seat, go to the back. As a Christian, you're here tonight, you say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I realize the devil's working overtime to try to diminish my light for God, diminish my testimony. And I realize what's at stake tonight. The devil hates me. And he wants me to worship idols when I can worship the one living and true God who made me. And I don't want to stoop to worship idols, the idols that other people are worshiping, when I know the truth that Jesus is my Savior and He is my King and my God. And I want to recommit tonight to putting Him first in my life. If that's you, just lift up your hand and put your Father right there. Amen, amen. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to be reminded of these great truths, these eternal truths from the life of Daniel. How he lived in one century there in the 6th to the 5th century. And we 2,500 years later can learn and see the same things in our own century today. The same things are happening. The same old devils at work trying to deceive people into going to hell. But that Jesus saves and He loves people. Lord, help us to tell them about Jesus. Help next week at Bible time that many, many kids and teens and parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles would be saved as a result of the gospel going out next week. We pray that you would revive our hearts, that we will be ready to take your word to these new visitors. Help us to be ready to love on them and to show them the joy of Jesus in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. And all right, we'll see how everything's going in here. We'll have them come in.